Everybody, it's lovely to see you here so early in the morning. It isn't always easy on Christmas morning to be early for things, but it's lovely. Richard's going to lead us in our worship this morning to celebrate this very, very special day, and we welcome him to the pulpit. Thank you. Just one thing, we're doing coffee afterwards. Volunteers are doing it, so if you'd like to be a volunteer, you know where the kitchen is. But there will be tea, coffee and biscuits for anybody who wants to stay and chat and doesn't have to rush back to put the boiled sprouts on. Thank you.
Good morning and happy Christmas. I often like to start worship with just a moment to pause and separate ourselves from all the busyness that's been going on in our lives. And I think particularly at Christmas, it's important to do that, isn't it? Some of us are still working the cogs. Have we got all the timings right for the family feast? Have we got that last present for Auntie Jolene or whatever it was? Let's just come and put everything to one side and bow our heads for a brief moment. Whatever it is that we've been worrying about Christmas, let's just push it to one side. Let's create a space here and now when we can remember that God is with us. When we can know his presence. And where, in the midst of all the glitz and tinsel, we can remember what is truly important about our life and about our God. Amen. It's nice to sing all the old carols, but I also like to sing the new carols as well. And we're going to sing Come and Join the Celebration, which is one of my real favourites. It's particularly important because yesterday afternoon, we had six young people in Muddy Church outside. We did a little treasure hunt round the garden, and we assembled the Christmas story out of individual leaves of paper, and we shared the story with them, and we started off that little act of celebration in the mud, in our garden, with this song. Come and join the celebration. It's a very special day. The Son of God who lay before them. Come and join the celebration. It's a very special day. Come and share our jubilation. There's a new King born today. Wise men journey, led to worship by a star. Precious gifts from lands afar. So come and join the celebration. It's a very special day. Come and share our jubilation. There's a new King born today. God is with us. Round the world the message brings. Welcome all the bells on earth are pealing. Come and join the celebration.
It's a very special day. Come and share our jubilation. There's a new king born today.
Let's celebrate. Let's offer our thanks to God in prayer. God of love, you came down to be with us. You are within us. We give you thanks for this very special day. We give you thanks for your gifts of food. All the different meals that are being prepared and will be consumed. We give you thanks for those special flavors, whether it be cranberries or sprouts or turkey, mince pies, brandy sauce, whatever it is that makes us think of Christmas, let us give our thanks. We give thanks that most of us have sufficient resources to be able to give at Christmas. To think of the important people in our lives and what gifts they might like to receive. We give you thanks for all those gifts and the wealth we have that allows us to be so generous in giving to people we love, both close to us and very often these days further away through charity gifts. We give you thanks for our friends and family, particularly those friends and family who will be gathering around us today, who will we be sharing times of love and fellowship with, who we will be sharing food and friendship, and finally dropping in front of Gavin and Stacey's final episode later on. For all the wonders of Christmas, we give you thanks. But above all, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, who came to be with us, who was born with such humble beginnings to show us your love and your way. And this Christmas, above all, we give thanks for that gift. Amen. We have four Advent candles lit, and we are now going to light the fifth. Rowena is going to light it for us, but we're going to have a responsive reading first. So at the end, could you read the text in the bold capital print? Light in our darkness, joy in our sorrow. Our Saviour is born, the Prince of Peace, the King of all, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's share the song with angels we sing. Glory to God revealed among us, given for all, offered for us, living within, one with us. Let's share the song with the angels we sing. The day is here, the time is now, promised long ago and promised still, within the laughter and the chat, let's share the song with angels we sing. And we light our final candle. Christ is the light of the world. We now sing again it's great, I can pick all my favourite Christmas carols. So one of my favourite traditional Christmas carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to all the earth. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. How silently the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Thank you. What a wonderful rendition. As part of our Christmas season this year, we've been reading a series of stories of different women from the Bible. And rather bizarrely, on Christmas morning, we have a story of a woman who isn't in the Bible. But then again, we celebrate an innkeeper who isn't in the Bible. We talk about a donkey who isn't in the Bible. We talk about all sorts of animals in a stable that isn't in the Bible. So why not have a story about a woman who isn't in the Bible?
The hours passed very slowly, as they always did during labour. Waves of anguish racked Mary as the instincts of her young body took over and pushed the baby into the world. Not for the first time, as a midwife, I reflected that there was a reason they call this labour. No labourer ever worked harder than a woman when she gave birth. As time went on, Mary became increasingly exhausted. I looked at her anxiously from below my lashes. The long journey from Nazareth, following a difficult labouring, had used up more of her strength than I was comfortable with. Over the years, I'd seen far too many women lose their lives as they wrestled to bring new life into the world. Mary looked at me and seemed about to say something, but another wave of agony overtook her, and her words were swallowed in a scream of pain. At long last, when the night sky outside the house was at its darkest, Mary's baby was born. A healthy baby boy who announced his arrival into the world with a lusty cry. The sounds of rejoicing from above us in the house indicated that our house full of guests had labored with us in spirit through the long, pain-filled hours. I held his tiny form wonderingly in my wrinkled, coarse hands. This was the moment that made all the laboring worthwhile. Here was a baby, like hundreds of babies before him, who was taking his first tentative breaths in this strange and dangerous world. He screwed up his eyes and wailed piercingly. I looked up at Mary, whose face was shining with weary delight, and then back again to that baby. He took a breath, ready for another cry, I suspected. But then he paused. His large, dark eyes opened, and it felt as though he was looking right at me. And his gaze shone with a wisdom that reached back to the very dawn of time. I hesitated. This was a moment I'd experienced so many times before, and yet it had never felt like this. This time, it felt as though I held in my arms not just a new life, but life itself. This time, it felt as though I was looking hope in the eye. I shook my head. I was getting fanciful in my old age. I swaddled him deftly and laid him in the feeding trough. It was the safest place for him. I turned as Joseph reached the bottom of the steps, his face beaming with joy. I put little Joseph in the feeding trough, I told him. He smiled. He's not Joseph. His name is Jesus, Savior. He has come to save God's people. I laughed. Parents always hold notions for their children, but that was beyond anything I'd ever heard before. You'll see, said Joseph. You'll see. All of a sudden, I needed a moment alone. Something was very different here. Something important had changed, and I couldn't work out what it was. I stepped out into the street and looked back through the window at the new family. Joseph's grandiose words were still ringing in my ears. How ridiculous that he should say such a thing. A baby as important as that wouldn't be left to be born like that. Would he? Would he?
Thank you, Mandy. We sing again, see him lying on a bed of straw.
Bed of straw, draughty stable with an open door. Mary cradling the babe she bore, the Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as porous was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Sink across the skies, show where Jesus in the manger lies. Shepherd swiftly from your stupor rise to see the Saviour of the world. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as porous was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Angels, sing again the song you sang, sing the story of God's gracious plan. Sing that Bethlehem's little baby can be the Saviour of us all. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem to see the Lord of love again. Just as porous was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Riches from your poverty, from your innocence eternity, mine forgiveness by your death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem, see the Lord of love again. Just as porous was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came.
There are times when I'm very glad that I'm a local preacher and not a minister. And to be quite honest, one of the times I'm gladdest is on Christmas morning. Because on Christmas morning, the ministers pinch the pulpit normally. And local preachers don't have to preach. And one of the reasons I relish that is because of the material we're given to preach on. We're given this collection of fabulous and incomprehensible and only partially believable stories. How are we supposed to preach on the Christmas stories in a modern scientific world? What does it actually mean to have an angel appearing to a young woman? How does that fit with our modern mindset? What does it mean to have a host of angels singing to a group of shepherds? It's not part of my everyday experience. Given what we know about reproductive physiology and anatomy and biochemistry, what does it mean for a virgin to give birth? Given what we know about modern astronomy, what does it mean to have astrologers see a new configuration of stars in the sky and think that it means a king is going to be born somewhere many miles away? Does it make sense? How do we preach about these stories? How do we preach about them, particularly on Christmas, when people who've drifted away from the church because they can't take some of the things we preach get confronted with some of the strangest stories in our Bible? No, I would much rather as a local preacher sit in the pew and listen to somebody preaching about these stories. How do we do it? Well, I think one thing we can do in thinking about the first two chapters of the Gospels is to think about how we nowadays preach about the first two chapters of the Bible as a whole. For the last 100 years, we've realised that the creation story isn't designed to be taken literally. It's not exactly what happened scientifically in the past. And that's been a great liberation. Because when we don't have to forget, when we don't have to worry about the details, how it's possible to create night and day before you create the sun, it doesn't work, does it? Once we're freed from worrying about those details, we can look at the bigger picture and we can see it for a wonderful poem and we can see how it tells us what a wonderful world this is in which we live. And we see that six times God stops and says, wow, this is good. Forget about the detail. Grasp the bigger picture. So what happens if we do this with the Christmas story? The bigger picture of the Christmas story is truly revolutionary. It's a completely different picture of God from any that's been before us. It's so revolutionary that after 2,000 years of Christianity, we still don't really grasp it properly. The primitive view of God is of a God out there, up there, separate from us. A God that the Jews saw as being in heaven, above the sky, remote, inaccessible, pulling invisible levers to bring about his plan and see how they change the way the world behaves. But the message of Christmas is not that God is out there separate, but that God is in here, within us. A God that anyone in the modern world can accept and explore and discover and allow to control their lives, much more than this old notion of a God who is somewhere else. The gospel writers deal with this in their own different ways. Mark, quite famously, isn't having any of us. He doesn't want any of these stories. He starts his story of Jesus' life at the baptism. Either he didn't know of these nativity stories, or he didn't feel them fit for inclusion in his gospel. Matthew wanted to make sure that everything he told fitted in with stories from the Old Testament. And he picked on a particular story from the book of Isaiah about a woman, a young woman who gave birth to a child and called that child Emmanuel. How do we translate the word Emmanuel? God with us. That's one translation. There's another translation that is equally probable. And it is God is within us. God is within us. God is not out there. God is within us, is the point that Matthew's making. Luke wants to make a point that it's not only God within the important people in this world, but that God is within everybody. It's no coincidence that in Luke's gospel, Jesus is born to a couple who are displaced from their home, traveling far afield. A woman who is so shamed that she has to give birth in an outhouse because the inhabitants of the guest rooms don't want to share a space with her. In Luke's gospel, God is not just within special people, but God is within us all. And then we have John. John doesn't tell these stories either. He's got no more time for the stories than Mark does. But he writes a poem that rivals that creation story for one of the most wonderful pieces of religious writing in all of history. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word that everybody imagined was out there and beyond is in here and within. It's the truth of the Christmas story. It's a God that works in the modern world. We don't have to look outside, we look inside. And when we look deep within ourselves, we find a God of love and a God of compassion. A God who is deep within us. And it's when we start to find that God that the world makes sense. The world takes on value. We know
how to be. In the words of one of the most famous theologians of the 20th century, Paul Tillich, God is the very ground of our being. He's within us. And it's when we can appreciate that God within us that we want to worship and honor that God with all our body, with all our mind, and all our soul. God is within me. But if the only truth about Christianity was that God was within me, it would be a very hollow religion. Because Christianity is a religion that says not just God is within me, but that God is within us. Once we can recognize the God within ourselves, we start to recognize the God in everybody we meet. We start to see it in the people we meet in church on a Sunday morning, but we start to see it in everybody we meet in the street. We see God within people who are like us, and we see God within people who are very different from us. We see God within people who share our faith, and we see God within people who have different faiths or have no faith. It's when we see God within ourselves and God within our other people that we realize it is our calling to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because God is within all of us. So this Christmas, go and celebrate. Have a good time. Make sure that turkey gets in the oven. Make sure the sprouts aren't too soggy. Spend time with your family and friends and enjoy their company. Perhaps those of us who don't see their friends and family that often. Share presents. Enjoy what you give and enjoy what you receive. But at some time, try and find a little quiet space. Try and look into your heart and try and recognize the God within you. And when you find the God within yourself, spend a little bit of time to reflect on the God that was in everybody around you. And when you do that, you will take joy in loving the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your body. And you will take joy in loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you do that, you will find it opens the gateway to the kingdom for each of you. And for the troubled world in which we all live. Amen. Alongside all the wonderful, well-known Christmas songs in the hymn book, there are a number of recently written, not very well-known, but tremendously powerful hymns. And if you want a little quiet time this afternoon, go to the hymn book, look for the Christmas hymns that we don't often sing. They've been written in the last 10 or 15 years, and you will find some real treasures, including this one from Iona, the Iona community. Who would think that what was needed to transform and save the earth might not be a plan and army, proud in purpose, proud in worth?
Surprises earth with heaven,
coming here on Christmas Day. Shepherds watch and wise men wonder, monarchs scorn and angels sing. Such a place as none would reckon, hosts a holy, helpless thing. Stable beasts and bypass strangers watch a baby in the hay. God's a prize is earth of heaven, coming here on Christmas Day. Centuries of skill and silence span the autumn which we bring. Yet experience questions whether with such progress we improve, while the human lot we ponder, bless our hopes and humour fray. God surprises earth with heaven, coming here on Christmas.
Please be seated. And let us come and pray in solidarity with those around the world who do not have the joys, the hope, the peace, and the love that we all share at Christmas. God of love and God of justice, we come this morning to remember all your people, all created in your image, all reflecting your nature, all with you dwelling within them. We pray particularly for people in nations ravaged by war. We remember the people of the Ukraine and Russia. We pray for the people of Gaza and the wider conflict in the Middle East. We pray with victims of the civil war in Sudan. Why can't people recognize you in each other? Why can't people recognize you dwelling within their neighbors? Why can't people recognize our common humanity, united in your presence, however we describe it? We pray in solidarity with people who are displaced and removed from their families and friends and culture. We pray for people who are taking long journeys because they have no choice. People who are running from their pasts and who are uncertain of the future. Let us express our love and welcome to them as we recognize you dwelling within them. We remember people throughout the world who are struggling to make ends meet,
who have perhaps but one meal a day that they can afford to eat. Let us enjoy the food that we enjoy today, but let us remember those who don't share these gifts. And let us remember that you dwell in those people as much as you dwell in us. Let's think a little closer to home. Let's think of people whose lives touch ours, who need to know your love. People who need to be healed by knowing that you do live within them, and that they are loved by us. And show us what we need to do to bring the reality of the incarnate God into the lives of everyone we know this Christmas. We offer these prayers through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us all to join in the words he first spoke. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We finish our worship with an episode of Hymn Wars. When I wrote the order of service, I said, let's finish off with O Come All Ye Faithful. And a little voice said, we've sung O Come All Ye Faithful an awful lot this Christmas, but we haven't sung Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I said, okay, let's sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And when I start chatting to John behind the organ this morning, he says, but this is the one time in the year that I get to play that final verse of O Come All Ye Faithful. And apparently, the chord on the word in the final verse of O Come All Ye Faithful is not heard in a church on any other occasion than on Christmas morning. The words on the screen will be Hark the Herald Angels, and we will sing Hark the Herald Angels to the tops of our voices, but then John will indulge us with a rendition of O Come All Ye Faithful that you can sing along to if you want to without words. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You can even put, we'll sing them both. Okay. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
By highest heaven adored, Christ
offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, held incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the emblem, Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Let's have a blessing and then sing again. Go into the world this Christmas to love and serve the Lord, and to recognize God in everyone you meet. And as we go, let us wish each other the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. O come, all ye faithful. All of it. Go for all of it.
Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Chieftains, oblation. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above.
For a different book, Merry Christmas, everyone.